Well, if you've been with us, you know that we just wrapped up our series going through what are known as the Pilgrim Psalms, and we hope they've been encouragement to you. Trust you continue to just draw from them as we make our life's journey together. This morning, we're getting ready to embark upon a new study, if you will, and to explain that to you, let me just mention a few things. I, of course, have been seeking the Lord about where we might go next in our times together in God's Word. I've really been looking to the Lord. Lord, what do we as a fellowship need? What would minister to and encourage us in all we face? And there's no shortage of things we face. That's not a newsflash to anybody. We live in some very interesting times. So I've been asking the Lord in particular, of course, just what would help us individually and collectively around here? We know that we live in very turbulent political times. I can just turn on the news and see that. Be it nationally or internationally, we know the politics certainly aren't the answer. Indeed, they're the source of much stress and pressure today. We know that many of us face personal issues. If we aren't now, we probably will. They tend to come along. So what will this year hold for some health issues? We know many in the fellowship are going through a lot of health issues. Again, if you're not there, perchance the year will hold it because these tents act up on us, don't they? So I'm just saying there's many, many things that we face. And so, Lord, what's going to help us prepare for whatever is going on or is going to be going on in this time's up ahead of us? But you know, in answering that question, that's really not unique, of course. Go back all the way to the New Testament times, and it was just the same way, if not more so. Think about it. In that day, they were an occupied people. The Jews and the people of that day, they were occupied by the Romans. So they lived with a military occupation going on. Think if ISIS actually conquered our country and we were occupied people. That would ramp up the pressure. And Christianity was not well thought of at first, and there was much persecution and all. That's the kind of culture they lived in. And they faced all the things we do too, the financial pressures, health issues, all those kind of things going on. And so it's been from the beginning. So in these times, what book will prepare us for what God has ahead for us? Well, He has led me to the book that we're going to be tackling together. It was around A.D. 56 through 58, right in there. The Apostle Paul was on his third missionary journey. He was in Corinth at the time. And he had on his heart a particular group of people. He hadn't been there yet, but they were very much on his heart. So he sat down and wrote a letter that is called by many the greatest work of all the Bible. Call that because of the way God has used it to challenge and work a change in so many lives. He's touched so many hearts through this. Turn to the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 1. Now, in saying that, let me say this. I recognize that this is a well-taught book, often taught book. Perchance, if you've known the Lord for a while, gone to church for a while, you've probably studied this book, perhaps a number of times. And so I realized that in saying, let's turn to the book of Romans, there might be some amongst us that would say something like, oh no, not again. I was hoping you'd do some obscure thing or do this one over here. But Romans, I've been there so many times. I've studied it so much. The awesome thing is, and you probably found this to be true, that the Word of God has like layers in it, doesn't it? It's like a rose or something. You just keep pulling back petals. And the Word of God speaks to us wherever we're at in this life's journey. And I have found that you can go to the Word of God and new insights are always there. Something new to encourage or challenge or minister to us. And so I encourage you, come to this book, come with an open mind and an open heart. As I was considering what to teach about, I found myself kind of tugged in three different directions. The practical side of me, so to speak, was pointing one particular direction. You don't need to know what that was, but I was thinking about, well, going this particular direction. And then when it came to how I feel, I thought, oh, well, there's always my favorite book of the Bible. I love teaching on that one. Let's go there, Lord. But then God began to put on my heart this book. It kind of came out of left field, but it began, and everything started pointing to it because I was asking that question, Lord, what's going to help this fellowship? What would you have for all of us? And he is so strong, I kept reinforcing it, that I know that he would have us jump into the book of Romans together. Pastor Chuck Smith says this about Romans. He says, it wasn't until I studied the book of Romans that I discovered the grace of God. He goes on to say, the greatest day in my Christian experience is the day that I discovered God's grace towards me. Even Chuck's commentary on the book of Romans reflects this theme, for he titles it, The Gospel According to Grace. Romans 1:1. Let's look at it. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus begins Paul's introductory statements of a letter that's going to just be so far-reaching and so crucial and so awesome. But this is how he introduces himself to them. You ever struggle with feeling forgiven? You ever wonder, how could God forgive me? Maybe have feelings of unforgiveness and guilt and all. Do you ever struggle with that? Maybe sometimes you struggle with, how does faith and works fit together? How does all that work out? Perhaps you struggle with the idea of unconditional love. Maybe all your life, all you've ever experienced is very conditional love. From all those around you, it was always love predicated on how you did and if you earned it and all. And the thought of unconditional love maybe to you sounds good in theory, but it's not been your experience. How can we come into that? How can we have it as something being experienced, not just a theory out there? Maybe you feel like you're always in performance mode. Got to earn God's love, got to earn other people's approval. Maybe that's where you're at. I invite you. This book can address those and so many other issues, so many other things that are going to be foundational and key for us. I invite you to join with us as we travel through this awesome letter. But I also want to say this. There's something else on my heart. As I was preparing for our time together this morning and starting to launch off into this book, I kept hearing God say one particular word. And it was the word settled. Settled. I said, okay, Lord, that's pretty cool. Settled, okay. What's next? Lord, the week's kind of moving along here, Lord. You can go ahead and complete that sentence anytime you want, Lord. Lord, it's Friday. It's Saturday night. I was talking to Kathy and G last night about that. I got this word that God's been giving me, but it doesn't seem to, there's no rest of it. Lord, complete the sentence. Where do you want to go with this whole idea? Settled. Maybe you mean you want to settle somebody in terms of, have they settled the issue of salvation? Have they really received Christ? If that's it, then that's the key thing, of course, and we pray you'll do that today if you haven't. But that isn't what really resonated with me on this. It was more like, get it settled in a positive way. Get something settled. It just kept... So, it has been and still is to this very moment an open-ended sentence. But I would say this. I believe God wants to use you in a sort of partnership with me and let him complete that sentence for you this morning. This morning I'm going to invite you. Let him fill the rest of the sentence in. Have you come here this morning? Has that thought been going on that you need to get something settled between you and God? Or there's something God says, but it hasn't hit your heart yet. You're struggling with it. Whatever it might be, I'm going to invite you. Let's let God complete this in each of our lives as we go through this morning. Verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of God. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. I've called our time together this morning, beloved of God, called saints. Let's pray. Father, I love the way you work. We rejoice that you care for us so personally and directly. And that's the case. It's your heart wanting to deal with our hearts. Father, you placed upon my heart that word settled. Lord, whatever that means for each person here, whatever needs to get settled, whatever's been settled, that needs to be received, whatever it might be, I pray you work right now, Lord. Keep the distractions away from us. And Lord, in this place, in this time, in our lives, would you complete that sentence for us? We look to you now. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a couple of stories to you here, a little vignettes to help us understand how awesome this book is. It was in August of the year 1513. A monk lectured on the book of Psalms to seminary students. But his inner life was nothing but turmoil. In his studies, he came across Psalm 31:1. In thy righteousness, deliver me. The passage confused Martin Luther. How could God's righteousness do anything but condemn him to hell as a righteous punishment for his sins? Luther kept thinking about Romans 1:17, which says, "For in it," speaking of the gospel, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The monk went on to say, "Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby, through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies us by faith. Therefore, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway into heaven." End quote. Martin Luther was born again. And the Reformation began in his heart, and he began to act upon it. And we look now, we consider now the whole Protestant Reformation that occurred because God got hold of Luther's heart through this book, through these texts. In the year 1738, a discouraged missionary went very unwillingly to a meeting in London. There a miracle took place. That evening he felt strangely warmed and felt that he did trust Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. And he received an assurance of forgiveness of sins. The missionary was John Wesley. The message he heard was Martin Luther's preface to his commentary on Romans. Now think about that. Luther got touched by this, wound up writing about it. Years later, this missionary, who'd been a missionary from England to America way back in the early days of our country, but he came home very discouraged, went to a meeting, didn't want to, but went, and began to hear these words of someone who had touched their heart, not just theory, but reality. And Wesley heard that, and he was greatly affected. And the great Wesleyan revival that swept England began. Think how God has used this letter. And I could cite so many accounts of how God has used this letter in many lives. But think of how he's used this letter to touch and change people, these men and many others. Well, what got hold of them? Letters on a page? A well-structured letter? Just the theological content? No, it's because of who and what it points to. The truths that are in this, when laid hold of by a heart, will be changed. Are we changed? Are we coasting? Are we settling? We need to get some things settled this morning about who we are. When the grace of God gets hold of someone, it changes them. You'll notice in what I just read here, and it's just a couple examples here, but each of them reached a certain point, a crisis point, if you will, in their lives. But it was a good crisis in that it made them open. It made them hungry. Maybe that's where you're at today. You've been facing some crisis points in health, work situations, relationship issues, something, some crisis has got you to that point. While it's not fun, God redeems those very things. God has been stirring my heart so much lately. And I thank God for that. He's making sure that I don't coast. And I want to name it just coasting. But there needs to be issues settled. May this morning be part of that. For all these things were a call for them to settle some issues in their life. Things need to be settled if God was going to have his way and they're going to come into all he had for them. And so the call is for us. As we begin this journey into this weeks ahead, as the Lord might allow, how is it going to affect you? What made he want to speak to you about in all this? If we will come with open and hungry hearts, then don't be surprised if God uses this letter to do a work in you and through you. And my advice, if he chooses to do that, let him. You'll never regret it. Let our circumstances be the means by which some issues get settled and he works his awesome work. Pastor David Gusick points out that the word God occurs 153 times in the book of Romans. He says it's an average of every 46 words. This is more frequently than any other New Testament book. He points out, in comparison, note the frequency of other words in the book of Romans. The word law will be 72 times. The word Christ will be mentioned 65 times. Sin, 48 times. Lord, 43 times. Faith, 40 times. But God will be mentioned 153 times. Pastor Gusick says, quote, Romans deals with many different themes, but as much as a book can be, it is a book about God. End quote. Romans, because of its depth and all that it covers and how well God uses Paul to state it, it's a book with a lot of heavy stuff in it, a lot of theology. But because of that, some people just hung up there. They get hung up on just the intellectual aspect of it. It's not about theology. It's about God. That's what changed them. That's what changes us. That's the invitation to all this, to get some things settled between you and God. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Paul, at a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, from Paul. This letter is a letter about salvation by grace. And it's going to come from the heart of one who used to be totally about the law. He used to be Saul, remember? That Pharisee. But God got hold of him. See, once he was set apart to the law. Many commentators point out that there's a Hebrew word that's very akin to this idea of being separated. That is where they got the word Pharisee. The Pharisees saw themselves as separated under the law. By this time, of course, in history, they'd really messed things up, put a lot of things in there God didn't intend. And we know it now as a very derogatory term. You're such a Pharisee. You're judgmental. But for them, it meant they were set apart. And that's who Paul was, a Pharisee at one point. But now he's pointing out, I'm not separated to the law anymore. I've met Jesus. And now I'm separated to the gospel. I'm separated to some good news of God. And he's excited about it. Challenges are we. Look at verses 16 and 17. We won't look at that anymore really more this morning. We'll get to that, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. But we're going to soak in it, so we might as well begin. But look at verse 16 and 17. For these are key verses to the entire letter. Where Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember he just said, I'm now separated of the gospel of God. I'm about that now. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For the very special people who go to church at least twice a week. Oh, yours doesn't say that? For the people who give lots of money to the church. Nope, doesn't say that. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's the criteria. Heart, believe, receiving. That's the power of God. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. These truths will change any soul that settles the issue of who they're going to look to, what they're about in terms of salvation. And if you've not settled that issue, that's first. And before we're through today, you'll have an opportunity to do that, to settle that issue. But Paul now, of course, is a believer, and he goes on to describe himself here, Paul, a bondservant. The word is douloi or douloth, and it refers to a bond slave. The idea is one who chooses to be a slave, one who chooses to come under someone else's, to be a servant to this particular master. Paul, in loving devotion, had enslaved himself to Jesus. May I share this? He's the only one to commit your life to. The only one worthy of that. Anybody else? They're not worthy of saying, I'm going to serve you now. But there's many things that want us to serve it. Many people that want you to serve them, live for this purpose, live for that cause, be about this. But only one is worthy. And Paul had found him and he said, I'm about him now. Have you settled that issue of who you're really about? What we really live for? As money pulls at us and popularity pulls at us and all these things pull at us and prestige and power and all these things, it's all sinking sand. But there's one who's worthy of saying, I'm yours. Have you said it? Have you settled that issue? And then he says he's separated. Separated. Again, separated means to be set apart. He's now set apart to these things. I'm going to be about these things now. I'm going to be about the Lord and the gospel, the good news, forgiveness, life, eternal life, purpose, meaning, all those things that come with the gospel. And what is true for Paul is true for us. We also, if you've received Christ, we've been set apart for God. But are we living the set apart life? Too many people try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. And you've heard that example. The person who keeps one foot on the dock and one foot in the boat, they're destined for the water. Have you settled the issue? Have both feet landed on Him? Have you settled that issue? I encourage you to do that. What you're really going to be about, who we're really going to walk in. The issue was settled for Paul. He says, I belong to God now. Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 2 had mentioned the fact that this isn't new. God had promised this through the prophets, through the Holy Scriptures, that the Messiah was coming, the Savior's coming. And now Paul points those out. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. From the human side, Jesus, of course, is God incarnate. He took on the form of man. And so he came of the seed of David, came through Mary. He's of that line on the human side. But he's the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness on that side. Fully man, yet fully God. God incarnate, taking on the form of man. That's what Paul is declaring here. The resurrection declared, it confirmed that Jesus is who he says he is. The resurrection didn't make Jesus God. It declared that he's God. Death could not hold him. Sin couldn't hold him. He paid our prices, took on our sin, but because he was spotless, he's the Lamb of God, he conquered sin, conquered death. He rose, declaring, as it says, demonstrating that this is the Son of God. Have you settled that issue of who he is? Does he have that place in our lives? As it's been said, the evidence of Jesus' humanity is his human birth. The evidence of his deity is his resurrection from the dead. The center of Christianity is not some teaching, some systems of belief. The center of Christianity is not some moral system. We'll just be good, hope your good outweighs the bad or something. That's not what it's about. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. Capital P for person there. And that's what Paul begins. He's saying, I belong to Jesus. He says, who, by the way, is God incarnate? He is the Savior. He's the one who came to purchase us and pay for it. Verse 5, through him, through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Through him we have, notice the past tense, received, past tense, we have received grace and apostleship. Grace, God's unmerited favor, it has been extended, poured out to us. And apostleship, now, Paul, of course, is an apostle in that unique way that the original apostles were that we don't have today. For there was that criteria for them that they had to have seen the risen Lord and all. But the word apostle means a sent one. And so though he was unique in that way, part of the original apostolic group, if you will, still we are to be sent ones today, for we too have received grace, and we are sent. Have you settled the issue that you're sent? You're sent into that home, that neighborhood, that workplace. Each one of these so awesome and important. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome. Rome was the seat of cultural and political and military power. To write a letter there, you might be tempted to, I don't know, just dress it up or cut corners or something, but Paul puts it right out there, we're going to see very clearly. And it's interesting, there at this point are apparently a number of house churches in Rome. Paul's going to greet those house churches at the end of the letter. But no one knows for sure how those churches got there. How were those believers there? Most commentators believe that there were, of course, people from Rome way back at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit fell, remember Jesus had risen and all, and there was that falling of the Holy Spirit, and the early church was birthed, it began. There were Romans there, and they probably went home and took their newfound faith with them and began to gather with other believers. So there's these churches there. It was likely that's how those got started. And he says of them, to all of you who are that case, these early believers there in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Called saints. The to be is not there. It's not that someday, those are added to help us, it's in italics in your Bible, if you notice. It's simply, hey, believers, you're saints. It's not you're going to be saints. It's not that someday after you die, we'll get a committee together and we're going to vote, and if you get enough votes, we'll call you a saint. That's not what this is. And many other scriptures speak to that issue and declare that's the case. Saint, of course, is someone who is called out, someone set apart. It's all believers. We're all called that. We're beloved of God. Notice the two things it speaks about them as believers. You're beloved of God, and you're called a saint. You're set apart. You're a called out one. Maybe you need to settle the first part of that this morning. Maybe you're having trouble believing that you're beloved of God, that God could love someone like you in light of what you've done, what you struggle with. You need to settle the issue of how God loves and what the basis of that love is and what it isn't. And believer, you're a called out one. You're a set apart one. Have you settled that issue of who you belong to, who really is in the driver's seat of our lives? And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pointed out that those were common greetings in that day. But I don't believe God would have Paul recorded just as some kind of a random thing. But rather, I think he's still setting before us these awesome truths. First of all, of course, grace. God's unmerited favor to you. And then peace. And you know this, you studied it. It's awesome, often pointed out. You always find them in that order in Scripture. Grace and then peace. Why? Because you don't have the peace till you receive the grace. And yet how much people long for real peace. We're so tossed to and fro, so pulled by so many things, so many trials and tribulations that rock our boat. And how we long for a peace, not like the world gives, Jesus says, is the peace that he gives. And that's what we need. Maybe you need to settle that issue to really receive the peace. That peace that passes human understanding may not make sense of the situation, but it's there. That you have that strange, awesome peace from God in the midst of it. Grace to you and peace. Maybe there's some settling that needs to take place there this morning. Well, now we've worked through the introductory comments. Here's some thoughts for us to apply this morning. Paul, beginning here in verse 1, is declaring that it's finally been settled who he is. He has settled who he is, or more accurately, God has settled it for him. It got settled for Paul on that day of the Damascus Road. I referred to it earlier. But remember, he was still Saul, that Pharisee, breathing out hatred towards the Christians, going to Damascus to enslave Christians and persecute them. He thought he knew what God was about until he met God on the road that day. And Jesus confronted Saul and changed everything for Saul. Not just a name change to Paul, but a whole change of heart and direction and life. All those things were ushered into his life. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus who you persecute. Then the next words out of Paul's mouth, what do you want? What would you have me do? And then came the answer. Here's what I got for you. And the calling, called, separated to go tell others. And he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And off Paul went. Paul, a called out one, separated. Called out of the one that he might be called into the other. Have you come out of what you used to be about? Have you settled the issue? You're out of that for good and you're into what God would have. Maybe someone needs to settle the calling today. Maybe God has a specific calling he wants you to do. And you've been fighting it and resisting it. How could he use me? Maybe you need to settle the issue. Here I am, Lord. Whatever you want, have your way. Paul didn't regret it. We won't regret it. But it needs to be settled. Verse 1, Paul says, called. Verse 6, you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, believed, beloved of God, called to be saints, set apart ones. Called, called, called. This morning, settle the call. Again, if it's a call for salvation, receive Christ. But if you're saved, settle the call of being a set-apart one. Respond to the call. In these days ahead, make sure we settle these key issues, for they are the foundation that will see us through. And he wants to work through us as well as in us. Live out the call. Paul is basically, he's declaring the basis which is how for which he now had a settled purpose for life. Now notice something here. Listen to these words. If you go back to verse 1 and start weaving through it, just listen. Called, separated, promised, who was, declared, received, called, called, what? Beloved, called. But except for the who was, what are each one of those words of called and separated and declared and all of those things. What do all those words have in common? What two letters are at the end of each one? ED. And what does ED mean? Past tense. It's done, he's trying to say. It's sure. Finished. This letter is an awesome explanation of what the gospel ushers into our lives. And you'll notice the past tense natures. For example, he said, God promised the Messiah would come. Verse 3, who was born? He did come. He did rise. What God said, it happened. It's sure. But now these other past tense words of, you are called. You are separated. You are beloved. It's sure, it's done, but are we living in the truth of it? Have we settled the truth of those things? Settling the truth of this letter, if we heart settle it, will change us to the core. And that's the goal. And that's the blessing. Let this morning be part of it. It was done for him, and therefore he's saying, it's settled. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. It's done for them. And this is, he's saying, it's done for them. Now let it be settled, Romans. You believers there in Rome. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It's done for us. Now let us respond and live in the truth of these settled facts. I'm wondering, it's rhetorical, but certainly for you to heart consider. I'm wondering if someone came here today with the thought, I need to get this thing settled. And it could have had to do with many areas of life, probably different areas represented for different people. But I wonder how many people this week were struggling with that. And so God put upon my heart that simple word, settled. And then he's calling us, saying, now let me lead that person into finishing the sentence. That today, I'm going to settle this with you, Lord. I'm going to settle that you love me in spite of me. Maybe someone needs to settle that they are beloved and to quit fighting him and arguing with him. Maybe some of you, there's a calling and you've been fighting about that calling. Let it be settled today. Maybe you've been settling in the wrong way. I say, Lord, I'm going to settle this issue. No more coasting. You know the old example, but it's true. Our walk with the Lord has been likened to riding a bicycle uphill. As long as you're pedaling, progress. Stop pedaling, down you go. You never see, you don't stay right stop for very long, do you? Down you go or you fall. Settle the issue. Have you been coasting? Are you actually drifting backwards? Settle the issue. God, I'm not going to do that anymore. Is it time to get this calling thing settled? Is it time to let God fill that in for you? You came in here and you're saying, whoa, how did Dale know that? Because God put it on my heart to give you the opportunity to finish that sentence. Today, Lord, it's going to get settled. This issue, this struggle, this view, whatever it is, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. You are beloved of God. For some, they need to settle that this morning. Quit discounting yourself and arguing against him, telling him all your faults. Settle it. You are a called out one. Is it time to get your foot out of the world and get them both onto him? Settle the issue of what you're going to be about. It's time to settle the issue of what's going to be the driving passion of your life. God's been stirring my heart, and I pray I'll keep doing it and doing it more so. I pray I'd do it for all of us. Lord, fan the embers into flames. And may we settle that issue. Lord, fan away. Because see, you know what? As long as we're still here, he's not done. But are we kind of living like, well, okay, I'm saved now. Anytime, Lord. And day by day, I mean, I need to check something. Yep. I'm still alive. Still beating. That means, that got a laugh first service. I guess I did that wrong. But still beating, still alive. That means he's not done with this old guy. Is your heart beating? He's not done with you. Settle the issue. God, here I go. Here I am. Whatever you want. And Paul is and will be declaring, we have all the basis we'll ever need to settle the issue. So the call, settle it now. Trust Jesus in your situation. Surrender to him in the situation. Obey him. Settle the issue. Respond to his call right now. Gio, why don't you go ahead and come on up and join us again. Settled is what I kept hearing as I prepared for our time this morning. It needs to be settled in each heart, as Paul declares in this awesome letter. So again, yes, settle the issue of salvation. If you never personally received Christ as Savior, go to the far corner back there while we're worshiping. Find one of the prayer partners and say, I need to start right there. I need to receive Christ as Savior. I see now that that's the only way I'm going to be there, but I want to be there. I want to receive Christ. Go do it if that's what you need to be. But believer, it's particularly my heart, and so I'd ask of you, is it time for you to settle something between you and God? And I don't mean this in some negative way. It might be that, but it could just be settling the issue of, God, you love me. God, you have separated me from that old life. Time for me to start walking in. Or whatever. You have this calling. Time to settle. God, I'm gonna obey the calling. I'm gonna quit fighting this thing, to get involved there, whatever it might be, get plugged in over there. I don't know. Is it time for you to accept the full calling of God on your life? Is it time to not stay on that fence any longer? Is it time to just say, here I am, Lord, I'm your bondservant. I want to offer the altar during our worship time. As Gia leads us in some worship, I'm going to ask you, is it time for you to commit yourself to begin to live as a separated one? To settle the issue, I'm going to be separated to you, Lord. I'm yours fully now. Whatever settling might mean, whatever the end of that sentence is right now that God's filling in, no one's going to bug you, no one's going to make you do anything, but the altar's going to be available to come down front and say, God, I'm settling it today. Whatever it might represent to you. Father, I'm in awe. We're in awe of the way you work. And so, Lord, right now, for anybody that's come in here, already thinking it, or you've stirred it in their hearts, even right now, in your love, you're saying, come on, let's settle this thing. Settle how I see you, you would say to a heart. Settle my call for you. Settle this trust issue and what you're going through. Settle the where you're going to be putting your feet as the temptations come and all. Lord, finish the sentence in whatever way you choose to, and help us be those who say, yes, Lord, it's settled. Meanwhile, Lord, we're going to worship you and thank you, for you're worthy. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.